Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's keeping well in these strange times. And thank you for taking the time to dial in this morning. As said Martin mentioned, I'm Martin Morgan, CEO of Centamin, and I'm joined today by Ross Jerrard, our CFO, and Alex Carrs, Head of Corporate Communications. And we're going to briefly go through our Q4 operational results, and then we're going to open the floor for any questions. So in today's results, pleased to say that headline production numbers were delivered in line with our updated guidance from October. We produced 68,000 ounces in the fourth quarter, and that brought 2020 production to a total for the year of 452,000 ounces. As we outlined in our Capital Markets Day back in December, the short and medium-term priorities at Sukari have really been focused on delivering improved long-term operational flexibility, which would give us a better consistency of delivery in the future. And aligned with that operational focus, of course, we continue to focus on costs and productivity gains as we look forward to the future. In terms of geology, we started to roll out both the surface exploration programs across the concession area while commencing the underground and open pit comprehensive drilling campaign as we look to both better understand and further grow the resources and ultimately reserves for the operation. In terms of the open pit, mining, all mining focused on the medium to low grade area of Stage 5 North, and this continues to be the primary source of mill feed for 2021. The focus, of course, because it was really on waste mining. In the west wall, this was focused on the rehabilitation in the vicinity of the area of instability that was identified in October last year. And that work continues to progress well as we seek to both depressurize the groundwater from the west wall and unload the area from stripping from above. In the north of the open pit, we continue to do the pioneering work from Sukari Hill, and that's in preparation for mining the Cleopatra zone by open pit in the future. In the eastern area of the pit, work continued around preparation for commencement of capital waste mining contract. That's the pioneering work in this area. And capital have made good progress in terms of their mobilization of equipment and people to site as they prepare to dig in for the 120 million tonne waste contract, which will start the first half of this year. On the underground, again, the focus is on development to provide both operational flexibility and the long-term planning as we move into Ptah and ultimately towards the Haulerstone. A good progress was made across 2020, and I'm delighted to say that the initial stage one of the ventilation upgrades were completed during the quarter, and that's going to give us increased mine airflows and greater flexibility as we head to depth. Processing was at steady state, with throughput and recoveries in line with expectations. Glad to say that fourth quarter saw the commissioning of TSF2. That was both ahead of schedule and under budget, and that's been a fantastic achievement by the operational and project team to enable us to do that. Good progress was also made across the camp upgrades, the HV switchgear, and completing some of the feed work around the solar project. We've continued to be vigilant around COVID and its potential impacts on the business. I think I've said previously on calls that I've been grateful and delighted with our team's response to the COVID situation and our partners in Egypt and across West Africa as we've helped to navigate this difficult period. We remain focused on the issue about keeping our people safe and looking at such operational things as supply chain and stock and inventory levels. I'll now pass over to Ross.
Thanks, Martin. Q4 numbers and more importantly, the full year financial year 2020 headline numbers were delivered in line with our updated guidance released late last year. Healthy revenue generation of $150 million in Q4 resulted in $829 million US dollars for the year. Our 2020 cash costs of $719 per ounce was within our guided range of $740 to $790, and our all-in sustaining costs of $1036 US dollars per ounce was within the range of $950 to $1050 per ounce. Having previously indicated that Q4 would be cash flow neutral due to reduced production volumes and back-end weighted capex profile, we generated $3.5 million free cash for the quarter, resulting in $142 million worth of free cash generated for the year. Importantly, finishing the year with a strong balance sheet with no debt or hedging and cash and liquid assets of $310 million US dollars. Our full year financial results are scheduled to be published on the 11th of March, where we will give you a full analysis and breakdown of our results, including the board's proposal for the final 2020 dividend. I'll now pass back to Martin.
Thanks very much, Ross. Looking forward to our guidance for 2021 remains unchanged from the Capital Markets Day back in December. That's 400,000 to 430,000 ounces of gold production, cash costs in the range of $800 to $900 per ounce, and an all-in sustaining cost of between $1,150 and $1,250 per ounce. As we mentioned, it's a significant year for capital expenditure at about $225 million, and this includes projects including the solar project, paste-fill plants, as we've noted, the accelerated open pit stripping program, and obviously increased underground development, and also a significant investment in geological drilling to pursue organic growth opportunities, both across the surface and at depth of the ore body. The phase two of the Sukari Life of Asset Review is underway. We're assessing additional opportunities for cost saving and further operating efficiencies, and that updated life of mine plan should be ready by the end of the year. In West Africa, the strategic review of the portfolio continues, and we're looking to update you during the first half of this year, both on mineral resource estimates and our future plans for individual projects. In addition to that, we continue to engage with the government of Egypt around the bid round, and we're looking forward to giving you an update once we have further news in respect of the awards. And with that, I'd like to open up to questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please ensure that your line is not muted locally. Our first question comes from Kevin Cardoody from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. If I look at the cost in Q4, they were about 70% higher than Q3. You are going to start like the waste stripping in the first half. You target to produce less gold and sell less gold than in 2020, but you still have a cost guidance AISC of $1,150 to $1,250. Can you just explain how confident you are in that cost guidance and the trend in cost for the different quarters for 2021, please?
Ross, do you want to maybe take this one in terms of the cost and all-in sustaining?
Yes, happy to, Martin. Hi, Kevin. Yeah, we'll be able to give you a full analysis and breakdown of the costs with the full year financial results, and we'll do a deep dive then. But to answer your question, I'm very confident in terms of the modelling that we've done on the costs for 2021. I don't think we must look at Q4 in isolation in terms of that cost profile, because obviously the metrics and the ounces produced with the cost profile were out of line. But in terms of that, as we've modelled and the budget that we've put together, we're very confident in terms of hitting those metrics, and that's why we've maintained our guidance ranges. But we will be doing a more fulsome and we'll go into the deep dive with the full year numbers and be able to show that to you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Raj Ray from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, Martin, Ross, and Alex, and a happy new year to you all. My first question is on the contractor mobilization. You did mention that you have made good progress on that, but do you see any potential risk with the world again into lockdown? And with respect to getting all the blast hole rigs in place and then the manpower, required manpower?
Thanks, Raj. Happy New Year to you as well. It's good to speak to you again. Look, in terms of the mobilization, no, we have a detailed schedule of equipment arrival, stretching back to sort of November last year, going through to March. I'm pleased to say, sitting here in sort of, two-thirds, half the way through January, but in terms of the both trucks and excavators, for example, that has continued to roll forward on plan. The last discussion with Capital, we don't anticipate any issue with the arrival of equipment for the waste stripping contract. Same applies to the blast hole. In terms of the personnel, Capital have already sort of identified and retained a number of the senior key management, which is one of the stipulations that we had for awarding the contract. We wanted to understand their sort of personnel and who would be implementing that, because obviously people are key. So in terms of, for example, a number of the key senior individuals were already on site during Q4 last year as well. So at this stage, they are certainly on track and possibly even slightly ahead of where they needed to be, both in terms of equipment and people around that. So at this stage, no anticipated issues. Obviously, you know, depending what happens with COVID around, I mean, who knows which way it's going to go. But I think given the sort of the operations resilience over the last year, how we've dealt that with that in terms of sort of, you know, keeping the site safe and operational, is that no, not anticipating any issues at this stage, Raj.
Okay, thanks, Martin. And then on your stage four west wall, you did mention that you're continuing with the depressurization. Is there a timing and when you expect to open it up for mining?
Yeah, look, so look, that has continued well. The holes have been drilled in that, very limited water coming out of it. So, you know, there is it's not a significant water issue as far as we can tell at this stage. The mining from above to unload the area, that has continued as well. And that continues to progress through Q4 into Q1. In terms of when we might go back in and start to sort of mine that particular area, that is in sort of for this year. And it could be sort of, you know, currently slated second half of the year, but that could well be brought forward depending on what we've done as well. So we've conservatively said that we'll finish that work during the first half of the year and be ready to go second half of the year. But there is potential opportunity to bring that forward. But at this stage, you know, having additional operational flexibility is key for us. And that's the focus, just to get that stripping and depressurization work done.
Okay, thank you. And then on your geotechnical work, has all the drilling been? I think you have mentioned in the previous call that all the drilling has been completed, but can you give us an update on where it is and if you have any early learnings from the geotech assessment that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so the actual physical hole drilling and logging was completed in December, and that data has now gone to our third-party geotech consultant working with the site-based team as well. So it's still relatively early. Obviously, there's a little pause. Our current geotech expert advisor is Aussie-based, and obviously with the Christmas and New Year period and summer, things did sort of quiet down a little bit there. But picking up again, so look, pleased to say the physical drilling and logging program done. And the analysis is underway at this stage. So too early for any definitive outcomes from that, but pleased to say that we're in the analysis phase now, and I would imagine over the coming weeks and few months we'll be able to look at that and then refine our overall slope angles as they feed into the longer-term planning that we're going to do this year.
Okay, and then lastly, if I may, on the Egyptian bid round, where's the process at right now? I think you last in our last conversation you had mentioned that the fiscal agreements with the government needed to be done. So is that where it is currently pending?
Yeah. So look, we've obviously you know, like a number of other groups have been sort of, you know, verbally awarded or acknowledged of a successful bid. We're engaging with the government around that. We have some a number of areas where we'd like to engage for further clarification and potential sort of amendment or adjustment to some terms. So that process continues. I don't believe we're any further ahead or behind any of the other groups that are out there. We're all sort of working, I believe, roughly at a similar sort of timeline. And I would hope over this first quarter that can be resolved and we can move forward from there. So, just working through the process with government and engaging with them, like some of the other groups as well that we're aware of.
Okay, thanks, Martin. That's it from me.
Thanks, Raj.
Our next question comes from Tim Huff at Peel Hunt. Please go ahead, Tim.
Thank you very much. Just two questions. One's a follow-up on the comments that you've made regarding the stripping and depressurization on the west wall. Is that right that you guys are looking to finish up that work in the first quarter, and that therefore gives you flexibility to either start mining in the area in the second half or even the second quarter at earliest? Is that what you were saying previously? Sorry?
First half. So, first half is the plan to get that work done. The actual, I guess, where we're looking at that, just for a little bit more clarity, is that clearly there's an area of unloading above the area of instability. So those are benches immediately above. So that's in stage four, effectively west. But also, of course, we are pushing back the stage five wall as well. So we're just working through now the sequencing of you know, taking that taking the weight off and de-risking that area, but also as part of the stage five pushback as well. So that work is being worked through, and you know, first half of the year is what we've said to get that done effectively.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks. And then the other one I had was just on CapEx, just thinking about everything you've been talking about with all the, everything that's going on with stage five and the west wall of stage four, and then all of a sudden also with the arrival of all the equipment on site. Is it fair to, I don't know what you guys are looking at right now, but it sounds to me like CapEx in the second half of the year is going to be heavier than the first half, because early first half seems more of a continuation from Q4. And also on top of everything is, you know, the unforecastable, which is COVID. Impacts on logistics constraints and all. So I was just trying to get some thinking about how you're looking at CapEx trends through the year on a quarterly basis or even a half-year basis.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll maybe leave Ross talk in a second, but look, of the, shall we say, so you've obviously got our sustaining capital in terms of things like engine rebuilds and, you know, just ongoing development work and so on. So that would be consistent through the year. When we then look at some of the bigger items, so for example, the capital waste mining, clearly they're going to ramp up through the first half of the year and get moving through the second half of the year. So yes, you could, you know, that would be quite clearly in the capital waste stripping area. That would, of course, be second half weighted. Things like the solar plant through the year, that'll be a fairly even burn, I would have thought, some early stage earthworks, site prep, equipment purchasing and installation. So again, sort of relatively sort of evenly spread through the year, paste fill plant in a similar sort of way as well. So I think there are a couple of items that will be more back-ended, specifically capital and the waste mining contract spring to mind. But the other stuff, obviously, is possibly more sort of even distributed through the year. Ross, from your perspective, I mean, looking at that sort of, you know, ongoing normal run rate of sustaining CapEx.
That's exactly right, Martin. So we've got circa 90 million that's evenly spread. The profile for this year is 225 million. Of that, the gap, there's 80 million, which you have already pointed out in terms of the capital drilling, the solar, and the CRF. Those will all be weighted to the second half of the year. So there's a big chunk that will sit and reside in H2.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Noor Sheriff at Arkham Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the call.
Hello, that's gone to me, Seb. I don't know if that's the same for everybody else.
Sorry, Noor, we can't seem to hear your line. Could you please try again? Unfortunately, we're not getting anything from your line, Noor, so if you could possibly redial and we'll move on to the next question for now. So the next question is from Alan Spence at Jefferies. Please go ahead, Alan.
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. So I've got a few questions. I'll take them one by one. The first one regarding production, we're partway through Q1 now. I think previously you talked about a staged recovery through the year, but can you give us a bit of a sense on how you see Q1 shaping up at this point? And if that's maybe too early, just kind of if you could talk around sequential improvements in grades.
Sure, sure. Well, look, 3 weeks in, you know, pleased to say no issues so far, Alan. Delighted to say that by the 19th, we remain on track, which is always a good start to the year. I think as we flagged earlier, Stage 5 North, you know, remains the sort of main production area for us. And obviously that is the sort of the lower to medium grade zone. So in terms of operational flexibility, you know, we don't have a huge number of areas where we can go to from the open pit. And obviously it is that sort of medium sort of there for lower grade material as well. You know, the sort of the consistent sort of, I won't say issues, but the consistent thing we're finding, of course, is that some of the waste is recategorized into low grade material once it's drilled off on grade control. No real changes as we spread into stage five, but we do see some of that waste being classified as lower grade material as well. So that has persisted into stage five, as we anticipated it would do. But otherwise, steady as she goes. And the old Radiohead song with no surprises that applies, which is great as far as I'm concerned, and just moving on that basis. So no surprises in the open pit. Underground, again, you know, real focus on development, getting operational flexibility into the operation of having multiple working areas available while pushing that capital infrastructure to get across into Ptah and open up down into Horus as well. So nothing particularly to report at this stage.
Okay, thank you. And then sticking with Q1, but then turning to kind of the waste stripping, you mentioned kind of that, you know, a ramp up from capital in H1. So is it just a fair assumption that Q1 strip ratio is going to fall below that kind of full year average that you presented in December?
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, Alan, what we've done is, you know, in terms of the Eastern Hills area where Capital will be operating over the fourth quarter and through the first quarter of this year, we've actually done a lot of the sort of the pioneering works, that kind of sort of, you know, small fiddly work to get access roads in, to establish benches and so on and so forth. And, you know, that work is, it can be slow, you know, obviously using smaller kits, trickier terrain and so on. But I'm pleased to say that we've made some good progress around those pioneering works. And what we really hope, of course, is that by the time Capital are ready to roll effectively, that they've got an opened up area, benches available, and they can hit that quite hard as well. So I think, you know, we'll continue in certainly on the Eastern Hills to sort of, you know, do our own stripping, but also helping to prep to give Capital the best start we can. Sukari Hill to the north of Stage 5 North there, you know, again, sort of slow progress to get that pioneering up there, to open up that as a bench and then start to bring that down as well. So you know, while there's a focus on stripping, it doesn't always equate immediately to lots of volume of this preparatory work we've done. Once that's done, of course, and we've got those benches established, then we can hit that quite hard as well. And on the east, on the western wall, that just continues, as we mentioned before, around the Stage 5 pushback and the Stage 4 unloading as well. So, yeah, remains a key focus for us, will be for this year, as we look to get that pit back where we want it to be and give it that flexibility.
Okay, and last one is just on the TSF, that second one that completed there. How many years will that last you?
Good question. It's designed for life of mine on current pit. So that is the intended capacity. We do have, I understand, additional ability to raise that if we need it further beyond that. But that is designed for balance of life of mine. So we're actually very pleased to say that we started pumping the first material into that back in December. And given the sort of the work done to get that site prepped, installed, lined and ready to go in the 12 months is a fantastic effort, obviously notwithstanding sort of COVID in the background as well. So that allows us to give us that additional operational flexibility around TSF2. We can finish off with TSF1 and then we can start sort of closure and rehabilitation planning around TSF1 over the balance of this year as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you. And you.
As a reminder, for any further questions, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. So we have a question from Noor Sharis from Occam Capital again. Please go ahead.
Hello, yes, this is Noor. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, great. Okay, so just one question for me, if I may. Can you shed some light on the reason behind the drop in the underground grade in Q4? And what should we expect in 2021? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Noor. Yeah, look, as we mentioned, you know, we took the decision in terms of sort of setting ourselves up to the medium to long term. So obviously there was a real focus on development during the period, both in terms of infrastructure development, but also stoping development. We were developing across the Patar a number of areas, and therefore those the development grades associated with developing in Patar are lower. And that brought in. So in terms of the sort of the mix of ore, we saw some more development ore coming through. It is a background lower grade than we've seen in a month previously, and that obviously dragged that down effectively. So it really is just a function of pushing that development to give ourselves that operational flexibility as we go forward. I think, as we said in the December Capital Markets Day, is that, you know, as we look forward, you know, Patar is going to be increasingly become the primary source of ore. That does sit around that sort of, you know, 4, 5, 6 gram material. But obviously in the medium to longer term, pushing down towards Horus, top of Horus, is that, you know, we're hoping and expecting that those grades will return back in line sort of, you know, towards those Amun levels as we head down there as well. So yeah, dropping grade, increased development in ore as well, lower grades associated with that, bring the overall grade down. But as I say, within a longer-term strategy of opening up additional stopes to give us better flexibility.
Yeah, that's clear. Thanks.
No problem.
Our next question is from Metehan Mete from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I've just wondered something. I guess, like, you are guiding for the second half of 2021 to be reaching back in terms of like the production to the old levels of like the higher base production. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, where do you see the all-in sustaining costs in the second half and also like the 2022 onwards?
Thanks for that. Well, look, I think, you know, I would point back to our Capital Markets Day presentation to back on the 2nd of December, and I think hopefully we did lay out, we did lay out our forecast for both, excuse me, I'm just going to give 1 second, I'm on the cough, sorry about that, like frog in my throat there. So point back to the Capital Markets Day as evidence in December on the future guidance. So look, I think at this stage, no change to that look forward on both production and costs. And as we've mentioned, that would see us obviously moving back towards the sort of the historical levels towards sort of, you know, high 400s, 500 as the drive forward. So no real update to that at this stage. Obviously, we've got the life of mine plan coming out towards the end of the year, and I think that'll be the next opportunity where we'll be able to sit down and map out a combination of future sort of production levels, but also long-term sort of trends in terms of both cash and all-in sustaining costs, hopefully benefiting from those additional cost initiatives and productivity gains that we're looking to layer in as well.
Sure, yeah. But, like, if we go back to the old production levels, I mean, shouldn't we see also the AISC falling back to, like, a 900? I mean, your earlier guidance for 2020 was, like, a 870 to 920 dollar per ounce for the AISC. Shouldn't we go back there instead of staying at, like, a 1,200 levels?
Oh, sorry. Yes. Absolutely. I think, as we mapped out in December, the view that we have for the operation long term is to be producing, you know, somewhere between 450 and 500,000 ounces per annum, with a focus on value over volume. You know, not ounces for ounces sake. We want those quality ounces of a higher margin, and naturally, if we do that, sort of looking to that sort of all-in sustaining, as you've mentioned there, sort of sub 1,000 effectively as well. So the vision for us is to push that sort of production back towards those historical levels, a focus on value, and that will, as you say, a combination of increased volume production, but also the cost initiatives and productivity gains will see that all-in sustaining and cash costs move back towards those sort of levels. That's right, yeah. And the vision for that, of course, is stepping back towards that over 21, 22, and 23, and then across the balance of the decade.
Sure, thanks.
As a final reminder, please press *1 for any further questions. Okay, we have one last question from Hugo Bradbury from EBS. Please go ahead. Hi, Hugo. Are you on mute? Your line is open for a question.
Apologies, I was on mute. Morning, team. I've just got a couple of questions. One, a follow-up on Alan's comment on the TSF2. You said it's designed for life of mine on the current pit. Does the Cleopatra new kind of open pit affect this detrimentally? As in, is this going to bring down the life of mine for TSF2?
No. I think we've got capacity at this stage for that. And look, the current capacity is designed as is. And obviously we have but we do have an ability to raise effectively the embankment and the funding around that, and we could get extra capacity into that as well. So at this stage, it's designed as is. And we do have additional flexibility to increase that should the resource reserve increase. Now, if we were to find the satellite deposits in our concession or more broadly in the regional that came in, then obviously we'd have to look at that if it was a significant volume of tonnage. But that would be a nice headache to have down the track effectively. So current sort of, open pit underground, we've got sufficient capacity in TSF2. But in the wonderful event that we found a significant additional ore source that extended that, then we'd be looking at a third facility. But at that point, we've added a number of millions of ounces to the reserve base, and I don't think anyone's going to be too particularly bothered about that as an issue.
Great, perfect. And then just my second question is on the Egyptian bid round. Providing that it all goes through okay, are you still planning to, your aim is to provide satellite feed for the current Sukari plant? And if so, have you thought about how the agreement terms will work, as that's a separate tenement to the Sukari tenement.
Sure. Look, you know, first prize for us on a capital basis would be to find something that we can bring into the existing infrastructure. So obviously, you know, not having to build another processing plant or another significant part of infrastructure. If we can find a reserve, that we can bring into the mill, then that's obviously the lowest capex, best cost benefit analysis for us. So obviously that would be first prize. But look, if we can find a standalone operation that just, you know, doesn't make sense to bring to Sukari, but standalone, that also would be a fantastic result. So that's the you know, exploration is what it is. We'll find what we find, and then we'll make a plan from there. But you know, obviously, we'd be delighted with either of those scenarios. In terms of you're right. It's an interesting point around if we found something under a new concession agreement, if you like, using the new code, but wanted to bring that into the existing infrastructure, you know, how would you square that circle? And that's a conversation we're having with government around how that might work. And quite simply, from my perspective, I'd always sort of default to Occam's razor. You know, what's the simplest, best sort of way to approach that, both from a regulatory and fiscal basis, but also operationally? You know, if you're bringing an ounce in from a satellite deposit, on a new terms concession, how does that ounce get sort of treated? Is it the concession agreement profit share? Is it the new tax rent royalty? You know, does that ounce displace an existing ounce and so on in the current concession? So you can imagine that, you know, that could be quite a complex situation. And I'd personally sort of, you know, prefer to default to sort of an Occam's razor approach about how satellite feed was treated in the existing infrastructure. But obviously, you know, ongoing discussions with government in the happy event that we're able to find satellite feed, how that might be treated. But it's a good point. It's well picked up, and it's something we've certainly been thinking about and been discussing with government.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you.
As we have no further questions on the call, I will hand it back to Martin Emroth to wrap up.
Thanks very much, Seb. Well, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to dial in. I really appreciate listening in today. As I say, just to reiterate, hope everybody is safe and well. And look, if there's any further questions or comments that you'd like to sort of get in touch with, please feel free to get hold of Alex or myself and Ross. And we look forward to talking to you again next quarter and hopefully continuing to deliver into the plans that we've laid out there as we can deliver quarter-on-quarter results. So thank you, everybody. I wish you all a very good day. And we'll speak to you again soon. Thanks. Bye for now.